Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to a Juno Afternoon. This is Katie B., and it is the top of the hour. Today, Sharon Kelly and Maggie Thompson will be here first off to talk about 4th of July activities in the People's Republic of Douglas. And as part of our Words 101 series, we'll find out what a poetry slam is all about. For those of you who don't know, it's pretty awesome. We'll find out more about the Juno 4th of July parade, and Colleen Goodrich will be here with details about this first Friday's 40th anniversary celebration of Annie Cales, and Sue Baxter and Maria Yucatel will be here to highlight the Sister City program. That Writer's Almanac and more right here on KTOO.org. Now, National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The U.S. Interior Department released a final rule Monday to reform the process it uses to recognize Indian tribes. The updated rule is intended to promote more transparency, for example, increasing public access to documents, and to make the process more fair, says Assistant Secretary for Indian Affairs Kevin Washburn. He says there's no dramatic change, adding that what's been done is improvements to criteria and the process. Washburn says petitioning for federal recognition is not easy and takes a long time.
If a group is legitimately a tribe, the United States owes it a trust responsibility and it deserves to have a government-to-government relationship with the United States. It's a matter of justice that we do this work. It's really important work. We need to do it with all the facts in a rigorous process. Otherwise, people won't trust the process. It needs to be a process that has integrity. We are not inclined to loosen standards or make it easy for frauds or illegitimate groups to become recognized as tribes. It needs to be a rigorous process. With integrity, and we've really worked hard to maintain the integrity, but improve it around the edges at the margins to make it work better.
According to the Interior Department, since 1978, 17 tribes have gained federal recognition. 34 petitioning groups have been denied. Groups seeking federal recognition status still need to go through the thorough process and pass 7 criteria such as descent, community, and political influence. The reform will go into effect in 30 days unless Congress steps in to prohibit it. Plans for a Native American Arts Center and powwow venue in northern Wisconsin are moving forward. As WXPR's Natalie Jablonski reports, groundbreaking is scheduled for August.
Lac des Flambeaux's Waswaganing Living Arts and Culture Center has hired an architecture firm to finalize designs for the new Indian Bowl performance area. As project director Tom Gallagher explains, the old Indian Bowl was an amphitheater that had to be torn down last year due to structural problems.
Pretty soon the concrete seating will also have to be demolished, and what will replace it will be an even nicer Indian Bowl. But of course it's important that it's on the very same site of the Indian Bowl that's been going on since 1951.
The project has raised about $1 million, almost a third of the amount needed to build both the new Indian Bowl and the neighboring cultural center that's planned. Organizers hope it will be a draw for cultural activities and tourists from the entire region. A grand opening is slated for early next summer. For National Native News, I'm Natalie Jablonski.
A Yupik singer and drummer from Alaska recently performed in Washington, D.C. KYUK intern Ellie Coggins reports.
That's Byron Nikolai of Tuksuk Bay, singing and drumming for John Kerry, Admiral Robert Papp, and ambassadors of the Arctic Circle in Washington, D.C. Nikolai, 17, sings in the traditional Yupik style with some original variation. Over the last few years, he's been gaining popularity performing all over the state. However, he says he was surprised to be asked to perform in the nation's capital, and at first didn't realize the significance.
I thought it wasn't something big, but when I got there, I realized how important it was, and I realized who I was performing for, and yeah, I was surprised that they wanted me to perform there.
He performs 3 songs in the Harry S. Truman Building at the State Department: My Alaska Song, I Sing, You Dance, and a song written by Joe Bill, which translates into This Place Here Is Happy.
I picked the 3rd song because it's like more upbeat, and just by watching you could dance with your feet, dance with your head. One of them was like kind of following the beat of the drum with his feet, so it was pretty upbeat and it was pretty fun.
Nikolai plans on more travel and performances over the summer. In Bethel, I'm Ellie Coggins.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
Support by United Tribes Technical College, offering courses online for a career in medical coding and for updating your current coding certification. Registration available through August 10th online at uttc.edu.
With funding from ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Welcome back to A Juno Afternoon. This is Katie Bosler here, your hostess for today, filling in for a bit for the summer for Scott Burton. And with me in the studio are Sharon Kelly and Maggie Swanson. They're here to talk about 4th of July activities in my favorite island, Douglas, or on Douglas. Right, ladies?
That's right.
Well, good to have you here. Thank you so much for coming in. And this is a long-standing tradition in the city of Douglas, former city of Douglas. Now we're part of the CBJ, as it were. But can you fill us in a little bit about that, Sharon?
I sure can. We're going to celebrate our 117th annual 4th of July celebration on the 4th, and we're pretty excited about it. We get real excited. It's for families and kids. That's how we gear up all of our programs. And we're going to have events starting on July 2nd all the way through the 4th.
Wow. So just a couple days from now.
Yeah. Yes.
So, folks, those of you who happen to be new to town, maybe you're just tuning in, maybe you're here working for the summer for the first time, 4th of July is taken very seriously around here. It's kind of like one of those, I don't know, maybe like a Slavic wedding that goes on for 3 or 4 days. It starts on the 2nd. Okay, go
it
ahead.
It does. And just a little history. When the miners in Juneau and Douglas, they only got 2 days off a year. They got the Christmas and the 4th of July. So the fireworks go off on the night of the 3rd so they could enjoy the fireworks because they have to put them off at midnight and be ready to go back to work the day after the 4th for another 6 months. So just a little trivia for you there. But on July 2nd, on Thursday, we're going to start our festivities with the Chautauqua Chalk Challenge. That's a little difficult to say. Chalk, as in chalk on the sidewalks.
There's two different things, right? The Chautauqua and the chalk. Okay.
Yes. And then there'll be a potluck, a light supper at 5:15. Drawing time begins at 4:30. And then there'll be a music jam from 6 to 8. And that will be right in front of the Douglas Library.
Okay. So this is going to take place outdoors, sort of in front of the Douglas Library.
Yes.
Then.
Yes.
Okay, and it's really interesting, this group coming real quick. I know we're going to hear a lot more from them probably in the studio coming right up here this week on a June afternoon, but Chautauqua is pretty fascinating. It's a cultural and social movement that started in upstate New York in the 1870s.
Yes.
And these Chautauquas traveled around the country, including to this part of the world, 100 years ago. And so what they would do is they would bring lectures and dance and music and drama, all kinds of things to rural America. People like Mark Twain were even involved. And so now we have this new old-time Chautauqua that was founded in 1981, a real group of adventurous performers, including people have probably heard the Flying Karamazov Brothers. So they're going to be just descending, right? I think, are they camping on Sandy Beach? I think I heard that. Or maybe it's Sabago Park.
They're going to actually be at Cope Park.
Cope Park. Okay. So they're camping in Juneau, and then they're traveling to Douglas for this event. Okay. So that's what we have on the 2nd.
We also have the drawing for our Cash Bash raffle, and this is where the Douglas 4th of July raises funds. And all those funds that are raised by the raffle go back into Douglas. We've done started Treadwell Arena down there. We've done picnic tables, grass, cherry trees all the way up the streets of Douglas.
Okay.
Helped in the Treadwell historic area. And so that's fun. I think we have a couple tickets left. If anyone's interested, Louise is the place to be.
Okay. And to get a ticket, will we go to Louise?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So that's 6:30.
Right.
On Thursday the 2nd. Okay. And just real quick, the potluck supper at the library before that at 5:15. So people are encouraged, I imagine, to bring something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're going to have some sandwiches and salad is what we understand.
Okay.
Then we move on to the third. There'll be our community picnic at Sandy Beach. This is in cooperation with the Douglas Volunteer Fire Department. So they bring food and the Douglas 4th of July Committee, of course, and that's in Shelter 1 from 6 to 8. And then at 6 o'clock, we'll also have the watermelon eating contest. And I think it's for all ages, isn't it?
Absolutely, all ages.
And then at 7, we'll have the sand dollar search down on the beach. So that will be great. And that's sponsored by the 4th of July. And then going up on the hill will be the Soapbox Challenge Heat Trials and Registration. That goes on from 6 to 9. And that's always very fun to watch the kids in their little soapboxes.
Oh, they're so great. I just love that.
Yeah. And that's a tradition that's kind of been rejuvenated over the last 5 or 10 years.
Yes, I grew up on 12th Street in Juneau, and we used to do soapboxes down that street. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, I did want to mention about the sand dollar search. We have the sand dollars, and we put them out on the beach for the kids to find. So if people are out and about and mm-hmm. find the sand dollars, please leave them there so the little kids can find them on the evening of the 3rd.
Okay.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
And that's Friday the 3rd as well,
yes.
At 7. Now, is that a tradition, too, the sand dollar search?
This will be our third
or fourth year.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's something I think I've kind of missed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, relatively new.
Well, folks, just so you know, you've put together a great brochure. Congratulations, Douglas 4th July Committee.
Thank you. And they'll hand these out as you're driving into Douglas. So as you're coming over after the Juneau Parade,
great.
They'll have copies to hand out.
And they're available at the grocery, at Foodland IGA and the post office and different places around town as well.
Okay. And folks, that just so you know, these ladies just look awesome right now because they have upon their heads, I'd call them 4th of July tinsel crowns, perhaps, but they're almost like little bunny ears, too, but they're just these red, white, and blue shining tinsels, and they just make me smile.
I believe in getting in the spirit before.
Anyway, I'm going to try to post a picture of that to the KRNN and KTO Facebook pages when I can. Go ahead.
All right. So on the 4th. Moving on to the 4th now. We would like to encourage everyone to come on over to Douglas after you're done watching the Juneau Parade. And all of the participants of the Juneau Parade, please come on over. We are very informal. All the floats and all the people who would like to participate, just come on over. We line up at Gastineau School and proceed to walk all the way down to the Mayflower School and then walk on down to the beach. And we do have buses provided by First Student leaving the Federal Building and at Gastineau School from 10 in the morning until 5 p.m., and they'll go back and forth all day long.
Okay.
So we appreciate that. At noon, we have the Douglas Community Methodist Church will be ringing the bell for the 4th. And then our parade, as I stated, we start at 1:30, and, well, we line up at 1:30, 1:30 to 2, and then at 2 o'clock the parade begins. Our Grand Marshal this year is Joy Baker. She's been an active member of the Douglas community for many, many, many years, and we just want to appreciate her and let her know that.
And our neighbor. Congratulations, yes. Joy. That's so exciting.
Excuse me. So the prizes that we have for the floats are most original, patriotic, most beautiful, best marching band or musical group, best commercial, and best cultural, and the judge's choice. And then we have the children's parade. They line up in the parking lot. Right there at the north end of Gastineau School, and there's all different categories, and all the kids get a prize. Okay, then we have, as the parade moves down to Douglas, we have the field events at 3 o'clock for the children, and there's all different types of races, and they start with age 2 mm-hmm. all the way up to their parents. So please come and have fun and enjoy.
Yeah. I saw some really big kids in that race last year, and it was hysterical.
It's pretty fun to watch if you're not participating, absolutely. The hockey group is doing a fundraiser, the youth hockey team, the Blue Line Club. They're having a dunk tank. Not sure who's being dunked, but that should be pretty fun there. It's at Field 1. Hula hoop toss. We have a couple of hockey players all decked out in their gear, and you'll have a hula hoop trying to ring it over their player.
Now that's new, isn't it?
It is new. Yeah, this is their fundraiser for the year. And then they're going to have pie toss, which is a pie pan with whipped cream in it. And again, I'm not sure who the target is on those things, but we'll find out when we get there. The Douglas Community United Methodist Church will be having their annual deep pit beef barbecue at the church right there. We'll have the We'll have events for everyone. There's from the children all the way up to the adults. We have the sandcastle contest going on from noon is the registration till 4. Just be aware that high tide is at 4. You don't want to get your sandcastle washed away, so please build up higher on the beach. The fire department will be holding a hot dog sale. There's barefoot bouncers for the little kids to jump in. There's the finals for the soapbox challenge. That starts at 3 o'clock, and they'll be going on down in ages 5 and 6, 7 and 8, and 9 and 10. So go watch them there and blast. The Super Dog Frisbee Contest will be at 3:30 on Field 3, and that's always fun to watch. We have the big make and break hose race, which is wonderful to be around if it's hot and sunny, which I believe is the forecast. And that starts at 4 o'clock in front of the fire station. We have bands on the beach. We have Chrome Forest will be performing. The Aqua Chautauqua Big Band, that's part of the new old-time Chautauqua group that will be there.
Okay.
Manic 3 is another band that will be performing. And then there's special LA guests that are going to be performing rock and roll for the last. We have a lot of different food vendors, and we do also encourage anyone who is interested in selling food to go to Parks and Recreation because there are still spots available.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you heard that, food truck types.
Mm-hmm.
So much going on.
Absolutely.
Do you have any tips for, I think the only problem with 4th of July and Juneau and Douglas is exhaustion. Do you have any tips for sort of pacing yourself?
Well, it's an old-fashioned 4th of July. You can always go down and take a rest down at the picnic tables, down at the sandy beach, and just take it easy, enjoy your friends. For anyone that has never gone over there, we get maybe 8,000 people in Douglas. It's amazing.
Yeah, that's a big population day for Douglas, isn't it?
It is.
It's
a good time to catch up with everyone, and for, like I said, for the kids and the families to get out and enjoy themselves. You can walk up and down the street and do different things all day.
Well, looking forward to it this year. It sounds like it's going to be wonderful. If people want to look up the information that you just announced, is there a website they can go to?
Yes, it's www.douglas4thofjuly.com.
Okay, well, Maggie Swanson and Sharon Kelly, thank you so much for coming in and filling us in on the myriad of activities for the Douglas 4th of July 117th annual.
Yes.
All right.
Come and join
us.
For having us. Oh, yeah. Well,
mm-hmm.
I'll see you there.
Okay. Thank you.
So again, 4th of July coming right up here in Juneau and Douglas. And just a recap of the most recent event that's going to occur, that's Thursday, July 2nd at the Douglas Library, or the library events actually, 10:30, juggling and magic class, storytime guests with Bubbles, Douglas Library at 11 o'clock in the morning. Then the downtown Marie Park will be Troubadours Galore. And then, of course, again, 4:30, the Chautauqua Chalk Challenge in front of the Douglas Library. Everyone's a winner, chalk provided. 5:15 is a light supper and potluck, bring something to share. 6-ish to 8, a music jam. This is all co-sponsored with the Douglas Library and the Douglas 4th of July Committee. Coming right up, it looks like we're going to have a Christine Ame Erickson and DJ Derigo here from the Woosh Canadian Poetry Slam. Coming right up. Welcome back, everybody. This is Katie Bosler, and you're listening to a Juno Afternoon. And as part of our Words 101 series for Juno Afternoon this summer, I have some local poets in the studio, Bill Merck, Christy Nama Erickson, and DJ Derego. Thank you for being here, folks.
Thank you, Katie.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this is kind of a nice, just a little bit of a departure. You know, there is a monthly poetry slam called the Whoosh Canadian Poetry Slam. And for those who aren't familiar, maybe one of you can just kind of tell us in a nutshell what that's about.
Go ahead, boss.
The Whoosh Canadian Poetry Slam has been going for almost 5 years now, where every month members of the community, whether it's their first time or whether they've been there every month for the last 5 years, join together at a different venue and share work with each other. So we have an open mic section that's kind of non-competitive and can also include music, recitations, a juggling act, whatever it is that you want to share with the community. And then we have a poetry slam, which is a competitive part of the evening where people bring original work and they're kind of judged based on their creative writing and their performance. And it's kind of been labeled the friendliest competition in town.
Mm-hmm.
So we're based in poetry, but our vision is about community building and social justice and really carving out a space for people to share their stories and to listen to one another and build relationships with each other through art and through word.
Mm-hmm. And from participating in this, I can really attest to all those things. It's been going on now for about 5 years,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And, mm-hmm. and generally speaking, the third Friday of the month.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very few exceptions to that.
Mm-hmm.
Usually they're like, you know, we make sure to tell everyone as much as we can. Like, hey, it's going to be on the second Friday.
Yeah. We've built a lot of relationships with a lot of different venues and organizations in town that have welcomed us. So we just recently came out of a slam at Perseverance Theater last week.
Yeah.
We've been to different cafes in town, both the high schools, middle school. We've gone to the Valley, Douglas, downtown, the libraries.
Fire stations,
yeah. So, we've been really blessed to have had open arms from so many different communities within Juno that are excited to see, you know, what Poetry Slam can bring to them and what type of audiences might be drawn into the work that we do.
Yeah, well, speaking of the work, I mean, each of you have write really beautiful poetry. In your own way, I will say.
Thank you.
Yes,
I
was like, thanks, Katie.
Katie B.
But, you know, for people who are interested in writing poetry or maybe even performing at a poetry slam, but are maybe just not quite sure where to start, how would each of you briefly advise that person or those people?
I'll tell you where not to start, and I think a lot of times people imagine writers, especially I've just recently kind of written this book. It's called Boy, and to like sit there and really write all of that out, I had to kind of like just really embrace the grind of it all.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized like when I would tell people that I was writing a book, they're like, "Oh, that's so fascinating! You must see poetry everywhere," and you're like. No, like not even a little bit. And
I see
so the place—the place not to start is never. Yeah, definitely don't get it in your head that you're just going to be like sitting one day, and all of a sudden all this poetry is just going to hit you like a truck, and you're just going to be able to knock out three slam poems and kind of walk away. It really is like you gotta.
Is that how you do it?
Yeah, inspiration is kind of like it's a tool that comes and goes. Really, it's so unnecessary to the process. You know, it's like those people and all the writers that I know are people who just really, you know, embrace the grind on paper and kind of charge just these blank sheets with their pens and have more pages that they throw away at the end of a day than they actually keep. And so to kind of like be a writer who's, you know, really taken that upon myself lately, I can tell you it's not just the kind of like one day you're zapped with a poem or something nice happened to you and you wrote it down.
But that does happen occasionally.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And that's, you know, it's a thing that can happen and I'm sure it will happen. And you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But it's, I would suggest if you want to start writing, then just start writing. because that's the only way that you're really going to kind of get your rhythm and hit your stride is if you don't kind of wait around for writing to find you. Like, you have to pursue writing. Mm-hmm. And really want that. So, and then that's when the beauty happens. It kind of gets you, and that electricity just kind of, like, you know, you learn how to find it and how to enable that in yourself.
Like, if you want to learn how to surf.
Exactly. You're not going to just be like, I can surf today. And, you know, got to be willing to fall down a lot.
I don't know. I think that actually I approach writing very differently.
That's why I like her.
Yeah. I was actually thinking more about how writing is more like a practice, almost like a sixth sense. And maybe I should say poetry is more of a sixth sense as opposed to, like, maybe the actual practice of writing it down, because that's a different thing. But I see poetry as, like, you know, we're experiencing kind of the literal world, like what you're smelling and you're hearing and what you're seeing with your eyes, and then poetry is kind of like this sixth context that's like your memory and how you feel about it personally, and everything that's not really going around you, but going on around you, but you're still considering it in your brain. And I think a lot about, like, since I've become a mother, not having time to, you know, do the grind, sit down and just write, but instead just the things that maybe you noticed as you're going to the supermarket or as you're taking a walk. And a key moment for me, I think about, is this time when I was walking with my son, and he said, he was like 3, and it was raining, and he said, I like to play in the wind and the rain because it moves me. And of course he meant,
literally,
like, it literally moves me. Like, I'm like 20 pounds and the wind is strong and I'm like kind of being blown down the sidewalk. And he enjoyed that feeling. But as an adult, you think about the times when you were moved, when you were just compelled or propelled or even lifted in life. And the idea that, like, the wind and the rain could do that to you, there's like a poetry in that, you know. And I literally wrote it down, right? I wrote that down. And I could call that. You could put that in a poem. But I think that...
You have your notebook with you at all times.
Yeah.
Which I know is a practice of a lot of writers.
Right. It's, you know, I say this at work a lot, that, like, poetry or art is a productive outlet for what would otherwise be an obsessive habit of collecting words or collecting those kind of moments. And so to me, you know, for people who want to start writing, I would say more... look at the things that you're already writing. Look at the words that are around you and kind of observe and take those out of context for a moment. I mean, we say things like that all the time. Those who are not writers, you know, like, I'm starving, or you know what it's like when you walk into a room and the air feels heavy. You know what it's like when someone is sick and there's just this huge space between you and them. And it's, you could be sitting right next to them, but you feel that. So kind of just being aware of that sixth sense is maybe the place that I would start.
Mm. Yeah. Or processing your 5 senses through your 6th sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, yeah, all those things, how things smell and taste and feel are so key to effective writing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And that's kind of where I would agree with both of these folks, that we all have a different approach.
That is Bill's place.
Yes.
Middle ground.
Yeah, for me,
way to mediate, Bill.
That's the way it works, right? For me, the most important thing about learning to write is just do it, like DJ is saying. Don't try to get past the intimidation. Try and get past that blank page. Try to forget that the first thing you write isn't going to be the home run that you want it to be. It's a lot of revision. Mm-hmm. That being said, there are moments when the poem is right there. You know, I've spent the last year or so really trying to focus on writing haiku, and for me, the haiku is there. You know, there's not a lot of revision to it. It's there or it's not. You do a little bit, but it's not like you're going to sit down and, for me, I don't sit down and pound through and revise a haiku a dozen times. It's either right when I'm in the moment or it's not. So for me, it's more about incorporating all your senses into one. And just being awake and being aware, trying to live awake every moment. The poetry's there. It's best just to write your own world and write your own experience, and don't go into the process thinking that this is going to be the best thing that's ever been written. Just write what you know, and it'll be good or it won't, but it'll be you, and that's the important part.
Yeah, what's great about Woosh is you kind of see the spectrum, the entirety of it, and I think that's kind of, like, even just hearing, like, the other, like, responses, I'm like, yeah, that's totally real, you know, and, like, even if it's not the way that I approach. Like, I can't imagine the way that I approach poetry manifesting itself into, like, kind of anyone else's poetry. So I guess it's, like, there is a spectrum out there, and it's, like, kind of stake your claim on that. It's a pretty broad one, you know, and you can kind of be like, this is how I write, or, like, that one time DJ told me not to be inspired, shut up, guy.
but I think you'll find that with Woosh, that all the poets that come up all have their own voice. And I think that Woosh Kanade has been really good about promoting voice. Good, bad, or indifferent, all your experiences matter. And that's what we're trying to empower people to believe and share.
Yeah, and something I think I've become aware of lately is sometimes a poem or a story just walks in the door, literally, or just it's right in front of you. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's just being aware enough or awake mm-hmm. enough to notice it. Mm-hmm. And that the same time, for a lot of us, if we notice it, to actually jot something down, because then we might forget 5 minutes later.
A lot of note-taking involved in the process for me. I don't know about for you guys. But
can I read something real quick?
I would love to hear you read something.
I was looking through. I was like, oh, should I bring something? But what you just said, I do want to read this. This was in CTAC. CTAC. I'm on the phone. It's plugged into the other side of the bar, so I'm kind of leaning over the counter, laptop open with a Google Doc on the screen, revisions on either end of the phone occurring in real time. I'm eating clam chowder out of a bread bowl, on a plate, next to another plate full of Caesar salad. I'm using all my utensils. I'm using every inch of my brain. I can't remember what I was doing a moment ago. The food tastes okay. I pour my beer into a glass. The man in a suit next to me is on his second Budweiser straight out the bottle. It's sitting on a napkin, and he's sitting on his stool with nothing in his hands and nothing in his way, and he's just looking into the airport like it's a landscape, like the hordes of people are just distant flocks of things running or flying or Facebooking on the horizon. I'm gawking at his still life in adoration when he smiles and says, "Are you full?" I stop long enough to look at my plates and look at my screens. I look at the people, and I look at their horizon. The runway is a sunset, and suddenly we are airport cowboys, so nothing is tragic or permanent or soft. I say sometimes, and then we sit together for a while. That was...
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Thank you for that.
Well, thank you for prompting it, yeah. But that kind of concept of sometimes it just hits me, huh, DJ?
No,
gawking at a still life in adoration.
It was kind of this moment where I was like, what am I doing? You know, what is this? Look at this mm-hmm. guy.
Wait,
I think maybe
wait.
This dark concept.
In defense of what I said, I think it's, no, I know what you guys mean. Like, it is there. But I would never want to approach writing in a way where I, like, needed that to write a piece. You know, like, I'm mm-hmm. all about, like... You know, like, I don't just need to sit and be like,
okay.
Today
right.
something super poetic happened to me, you know?
Right.
But, like, anyway, there's nothing that's not a... I wasn't knocking it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, thank you so much, the three of you, for coming in. Well, you know, I'm a word fanatic, so I just...
Yeah.
We could just chat for another half an hour, but we have other guests in the wings. But
another time. We'll save it for another time.
But Damn. Just real quick, when is the next Woosh Kanade Poetry Slam? Do we have that down yet, or are we still working on it?
We do.
The 17th, actually, okay. The third Friday of the month.
Yep.
It's going to be at Heritage Coffee.
Okay.
The one downtown, the new one, the big one with the...
there we go.
Yeah, that newly renovated...
All that fancy stuff. All that new big things, the Bajas that are just ready for you.
So July 17th, Friday, show up at 6 and sign up and start at 6:30?
Yeah.
Yes, yep.
Okay,
usual
great.
Time.
All right, well, Bill Murr, Christianame Erickson, and DJ Derego, thank you so much for coming in, and happy 4th of July.
Great,
Fourth.
Thank you. Yeah. Happy 4th, guys.
Going across the mountain, oh, fare you well. Going across the mountain, near my Bento trail. Cry.
Welcome back to A Junior Afternoon, folks. With me in the studio is Gene Stuck and Mark Finkelstein, and they are here from the Juno 4th of July Committee. Yes, not to be outdone by Douglas, Juno is here.
Yes, ma'am, we are. We're ready.
And, Gene, I just want to say congratulations. This is the 30th year you have been in charge of this party.
I've only been the director for 8 years, but I've been on the committee for 30 years.
Oh, my gosh, 30 years in the committee. Well, that's...
I still don't know what's going on. My committee's still training me.
Well, thank you so much for all your service to our community. So tell us what's happening with the Juno 4th of July parade.
I know it's going to happen on the 4th of July. I've been getting calls. Is the 4th of July parade on the 4th of July? Yes, it is. Anyway, the theme is Home of the Brave. And we are honoring veterans of the four major wars, and all five military branches are represented. And I'll let Mark tell you about our parade grand marshals.
Okay.
So we have four parade grand marshals, and one is Lieutenant Colonel Steve Stuck. And if that name sounds familiar, it should.
Okay.
The next is Master Sergeant Kevin Hassan, who served in Iraq and in Afghanistan in the Air Force. We have Tommy Dawson, who served in the Navy in Vietnam. And we have Petty Officer First Class Jeremy Frank, who served in the Coast Guard in Afghanistan. And we have a Marine, which Gene will tell you about.
The Marine is named Rusadel Leo Bazard. He's a past Civil Air Patrol cadet. He's a past Parade Grand Marshal, and now he's a former Marine. And he will be riding with Lieutenant Colonel Stuck in the parade, along with our daughter and our granddaughter who flew up here from Texas last night.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Well, you know, and actually, this is the first 4th of July. We'll have my brother-in-law, who is surfing in Germany, and he and his family are arriving tonight.
Oh, my God.
Outstanding.
That is exciting when they arrive in Germany.
Yeah. So, gosh. So for those who are unfamiliar, how does the Juno 4th of July parade work as far as timing and route and all that?
We're doing the reverse route again this year. You can see it on our webpage at www.juno4th4ofjuly.net. And there's a map there that you can see the reverse parade route. We've been doing the reverse parade route for about the past 5 or 6 years.
Okay, so same as last year then.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, mm-hmm. Great. And you got many people signed up?
We have over 50 entries. When I say entries, one entry could contain 100 people or it could contain two people. We have over 50.
Okay.
Very nice turnout this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And we have a couple of bands that are going to be really fabulous. Chautauqua joined with the Juno Volunteer Marching Band.
Yes.
And that's going to be real entertaining.
That is so exciting. Yes. Yeah, so, folks, the Chautauqua are a group of volunteer community builders and entertainers and musicians and acrobats, and they are going to be staying at Cote Park, I think starting real soon here, maybe now.
At Cote Park?
That's what I understood from the Douglas people.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're doing all things all around town. Really, we're really lucky to have this group here. And I know we're going to hear much more about that coming up here on a Juno afternoon later this week.
The parade begins at 11 a.m., although entries that want to be judged and things on their entry form, it tells them what time to be in the staging area to be ready for judging.
Mm-hmm.
It does take the judges some time to go through the whole process.
Okay, yeah. So if you have to show up at least a couple hours before the parade starts.
It depends on what your entry is.
Okay.
I think folks need to show up at 7 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
and judging begins at 7:30, I believe. I don't have that right in front of me. I'm sorry.
Okay.
But the parade does start at 11 a.m.
Okay. And, again, you can go to that website for more information.
Mm-hmm. In the staging area, I wanted to mention that there's no parking in the staging area itself and no parking in the area from 3 a.m. until noon on the 4th, and especially behind the Fish and Game building. That's where we have to send the watercraft around that building to get into their staging spot.
Okay, so where do you recommend people park for the 4th?
I have no idea where they park. All I know
but they don't park anywhere near the staging area.
Not in the
staging. You might want to try on the other side of Egan Drive somewhere. Right?
I have no idea about that.
Okay.
Some of the people who are coming to our parade, other than the parade grand marshals, we have the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, we have Mayor Curtis of Whitehorse, and Councilman Stryker and his wife Susan of Whitehorse.
We've got all kinds of visitors.
Yes.
Okay, well, is there anything else you'd like to add?
Mark?
Do you want to talk about volunteers first?
Go ahead.
If people would like to volunteer to help us with next year's 4th of July parade, we're always interested in speaking to you. And
they can call 790-4444. The phone is on just during this time of the season, but it's off shortly after the parade.
Okay, folks, you got that. Jean's been at this for 30 years. 790-4444.
I chose those numbers myself.
All right. Well, Jean and Mark from the Juneau 4th of July Committee, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having us
yes,
again.
Thank you.
We love doing this.
Happy 4th of July. And one more time, what is the website if people want to get any more details about the 4th of July parade in Juneau?
www.juneau4ofjuly.net.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Katie.
Welcome back to a Juneau Afternoon, everyone. And we heard lots about the 4th of July today. Again, the old-time Chautauqua is in town, and on July 2nd, they're going to be having quite the festivities at the Douglas Library, starting at 4:30, Chalk Challenge, Music Jam, and Potluck. July 3rd, free workshops, 1 to 4 at Centennial Hall. They have everything from an acrobatics workshop to deep clowning to mask making to slacklining to a woman's guide to mastering our universe. So it's just amazing. And they're also going to be, of course, in the Juneau and Douglas parades. And speaking of a woman who's mastered her universe, with us in the studio is the Annie Kale, who started Annie Kale's 40 years ago. We're here to talk about an anniversary celebration with Annie and current owner, Colleen Goldrich. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
So Annie,
yes.
You started a gift shop downtown.
I did on the Merchant's Wharf in 1975. And they had just converted the old Seadrome into a retail spaces, and I was one of them.
So what it's evolved to, We've been in town now for 23 years almost, and mm-hmm. it seems like it's been pretty much in that location now for a number of years.
Yes, that was previously
the new location.
Yes, that previously relatively. Was yeah. Kassler's, which okay. was a men's store. And when they moved out, I moved there, and I would say I was probably in business for about maybe 7 years, possibly, before I moved there, and stayed put.
Okay, so you're right there near the movie theater and
yes,
right across from the Imperial, Ben
Franklin.
Couple
doors out from Hearthside, yeah, on front.
So how did it evolve to the just really beautiful gift shop it
well,
is now?
Well, it started that way, surprising. And the one thing I was told was it would never work. Uh-huh. I mean, I'm saying, like, really? Why wouldn't this? Because they weren't used to having, I guess, they had nice things, I'm sure, but...
Yeah, what was your goal when you started it?
Well, first off, I was a jeweler by trade. And I looked around Juneau and said, oh, boy, I don't think I can shop here. And then I knew a lot of artists. But at that time, there were no telephones to be had in Juneau when I moved here. So I had to go to the airport to use the public telephone.
Oh, my gosh.
And it just, you know, once you decide to do something, like you're like a kid in a candy store, it just goes forward. I mean, the first domino hits and then you're flying. And I ended up opening Annie Kale's with, I think, about $1,100 in merchandise. But it was a beautiful store. I had Larry Matheny design it, and I had Kent Fagerstrom do my carpentry, and I think you're still using some of the old track line I bought then.
We are.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And now, Colleen, are you the second owner then?
The third.
Third owner.
Yeah.
Okay.
In, I think, 1998 or 1999, somewhere in there, Darby bought it from Annie, Darby Abel.
2000.
Mm-hmm. Bought it from Annie, and and then I bought it from Darby.
And you've had it now for?
I'm just started the third year.
Okay. So, what's it like running a bustling gift shop?
Wow, it's pretty amazing.
Hair on fire.
Yeah, hair on fire. It's really fun. It's really fun. It's so awesome to come to work every day and be surrounded by all of those really pretty things. I mean, the art, the jewelry, the just everything
the
in there. It's just, yeah, the pottery, everything mm-hmm. is so nice and fun to be around. And so,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, it seems to me like there's a real value on aesthetics. When mm-hmm. you walk in and even if you don't buy anything, it just feels good mm-hmm. to look around and be in that space.
Yeah. It's a nice place to work mm-hmm. when people enjoy just coming in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They used to just walk in lunchtime just to be... Mm-hmm. A little diversion from work, yes.
Yeah, just to come and kind of check in. I did Darby's books for a long time, and I've had my jewelry in there for a long time. And it's kind of almost like a coffee shop. I would sit upstairs doing the books and look out over the store. And people come and they check in. It's like a touch base thing. And, you know, we have our little bowl of Jelly Bellies for samples. And people know each other, and it's just a nice place to come into, even if for 5 minutes to look around.
Well, I caught a social scene on First Fridays, and you have a special celebration for the 40th anniversary this coming First Friday.
We do. We're celebrating with a party between 4 and 6. We know it's July 3rd, which happens to be the First Friday, so it's a big firework night and all of that. So we're having an open party from 4 to 6, and then we're going to have kind of a Kale's reunion after that. And it'll just be celebrating the store. We'll have lots of fun photos and memorabilia from the past to look at and look through, and it's just going to be a fun low-key night, but really fun. We have Annie here, Darby's coming, John Farringer will be here, Barbara Lavallee.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, we have, and then lots of former employees and artists and current employees and artists, everyone will be there.
Well, it sounds like quite a reunion.
Yeah. Can I say real quickly, too, that we're going to participate in the parade. So anyone who wants to join us that's been involved with the store, we would love to have you meet us at about 9 o'clock down where the parade meets.
So that's the staging area, which mm-hmm. is the Department of Labor parking lot just on the other side of the bridge. There.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there anything either of you would like to add?
Not so much about that. We've got some, you know, keep checking us for the rest of the year. We've got lots of fun events coming up. So like us on Facebook. Check out our website. We've got all sorts of info on there.
Okay, and you still got the, of course, the art up from the last First Friday.
Well, it's being moved. We've got it up just for the next couple of days, but the whole store is kind of getting shifted and getting ready for the party. So,
Okay, well, you probably have to go back and do a bunch of party preparation,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's a party.
All right, well, Annie Kale, it's an honor to meet you.
Thank you. Thank
and
you.
And Colleen Goldrich, great to have you here.
Thank you.
For coming in.
It's nice to be back. Thank you.
In a long time traveling here below, been a long time traveling away from my home, been a long time traveling here below, to lay this body down, been a traveling here below, been a long time traveling away from my home, been a long time traveling here below, to lay this body down, been a long time traveling here below, been a long time traveling away from my home, been a long time traveling here below, to lay this body down.
That was Anna and Elizabeth. They will be playing at 7 o'clock at the Gold Town, Wednesday, July 8th. That's our CD here. On a Juneau afternoon on KTOO FM and KRNN, of course, FM in Juneau, Alaska. With me in the studio is Sue Baxter from Juneau, and she is joined by Maria Yucatel from Whitehorse, here to talk about the Sister City participation in the Juneau 4th of July Parade. And Douglas 4th of July parades, too? Yes?
Downtown
Juneau.
Well,
yeah.
First, I need to say that Maria and I are co-chairs here in Juneau of the Sister City Committee.
Okay. In Juneau. Okay.
That's right.
Well, thank you. I just thought you looked Canadian.
Very well, thank you.
That's a compliment. That's a compliment.
It is.
And all right. Sorry about that. Okay.
And we're here because in February, Maria and I had the opportunity to go to Whitehorse to their 65th birthday of the city of Whitehorse. And while we were there, we delivered a letter from Mayor Sanford to the mayor of Whitehorse, Dan Curtis, inviting him to come to march, inviting him and the whole council to march in our parade, as well as we extended an invitation from Mayor Sanford to the Mounties to also come and march.
Oh my gosh, we're going to have a whole Whitehorse delegation here.
Kind of.
Yeah, we are. It's pretty exciting. The RCMP arrives on the 4th. They will be here at 9 o'clock in the morning. They're flying in, six Mounties and the mayor flying in, and the councilor will arrive separately. But we'll all meet and march on the 4th.
Oh, my gosh. And those Mounties look pretty impressive, don't they?
They do. They do. And we're 7th in the parade, so you'll have a really good chance right in the beginning to check those Mounties out.
And have we had a mayor or councilors from Whitehorse in that parade before?
Not to my knowledge. I know that the Mounties have come in several different guises before. I know they have in the past brought their horses. They're not bringing their horses this time, just three Mounties. And the chief...
Inspector Archie Thompson, he's the chief person of that delegation at Whitehorse, and he's coming with a couple of the officers.
Oh, my gosh, wow.
So, and here in Juneau, they're going to be hosted by?
By Juneau Police Department. Mm-hmm. Inspector Johnson is going to pick them up and host them while they're here, making sure that they have a place where they can change to their fancy uniform, the red one. And then after the parade downtown, we're going to go to Douglas and watch that parade. They don't have a lot of time in town. They'll be here until 5 o'clock on the 4th.
Oh, my gosh. Wow, just a whirlwind.
In and out.
Flying in and out, huh?
Right.
They're going to soak up the Douglas atmosphere and participate in the Juneau Parade.
Pretty much that's the plan.
And just real quick, as co-chairs of the Sister City Committee with Whitehorse and Juneau, tell us just a little bit about that.
Well, we have Whitehorse is not our only sister city, and the Sister City Committee is the advisory committee to the Assembly and to the Mayor on sister cities' relationships. We have Whitehorse. Our latest is Calibo in state of Aklan, Philippines, Vladivostok, Russia, and Mishan City in China, and
Shaiyi in Taiwan.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
And some of those relationships are not active, Shaiyi and Mishan City. We've had some conversations with Vladivostok, and we might be planning some activities to celebrate their birthday coming up later this summer.
And we have a fundraiser that is going to be going on starting the end of this fall with the Filipino community for the city of Calibo and their grandstand.
Okay. Well, so thank you so much for coming in. And sounds like it'll be an enjoyable time to host the Mounties and the mayor and some dignitaries from Whitehorse for our Juneau and Douglas celebrations this weekend. Thank you to Sue Baxter and Maria Yucatel for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. All right. Happy 4th.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Tuesday, the 30th of June.
In Dock Bay, K269AO in Lemon and Schweitzer Creeks, K210AM in Gustavus, K220BT in Hoonah, and K210AS in Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait. In Juneau, KTOO is on GCI Cable on digital channel 871. We're also online at ktoo.org. Support for national programming on KTOO comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and listeners like you.
Wide range of businesses and industries, and a substantial increase in the salary test is going to be a big deal.
The White House wants more Americans to make overtime wages, and employers are pushing back.
For Tuesday, June 30th, it's All Things Considered from NPR News.
I'm Rachel Martin.
And I'm Robert Siegel. More on the president's new plan to change the rules about who's eligible for OT, and another deadline in the negotiations over Iran's nuclear program has come and gone.
We'll hear from one expert who says any deal should include transparency about Iran's past activities.
We're not going to get a full disclosure.